Tfilah for Moshe Rabbeinu, the man of God. Hashem Ma'onasa. Hashem, you are a dwelling place. You were that place for us. We're all generated for many generations. So here's the deal. First of all, it's Tfilah Moshe. We said that the following 11 Tehillim, starting with Tzadi, going all the way to Kuf Aleph, were all written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, does that mean that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them and David Melech copied them down? Probably not. It's more likely that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the original ideas and that David Melech adapted them to his time to make it more accessible for the people out there.
Isn't that changing, changing the whole thing?
Yeah, in theory, it's still prose. No, this was the tefillah for Moshe, right? That he is now putting in his
That's what I'm saying. If he's changing the whole thing.
Not changing the whole thing. He's changing certain ideas. Ish Elokim is an accolade that's given to Moshe Rabbeinu because at the end of the Torah, that's the name that was given to him. At the end, right by Parshas Zosa Bracha, right, he is known as, at the very beginning of the Parsha, Zosa Bracha Baruch Moshe, Ish Elokim is Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only person in Tanakh, although there are 10 people named Ish Elokim, man of God, he is the only one to be said that way by Hashem himself. Everybody else is either called that way by the Navi or by somebody else that was around him calling him man of God. Moshe Rabbeinu is called this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he is the man of God. Hashem Ma'onato. So here's the deal. He's a man of God because why? Either because he was always into Ruchnis, which makes a lot of sense, or because he had no personal gains, no personal end in teaching Bnei Yisrael, did it only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it. Number three, because he was a Navi, and a Navi is a person who's called the man of God. Number four, oh, and that's that, the 10 all together and stuff like that. Rav Sadia Gaon says LeMoshe doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. It was given to the Levium, the people of Moshe, for them to sing in the Beis Hamikdash. This is the tefillah for the men of Moses, so to speak, the Levium that were over there. The same way with Livnei Korach Mizmor. For the Bnei Korach, there were people that are known as Bnei Korach, the Levium that were there, and they sing it. It doesn't necessarily mean that they wrote it when it comes to this. So that's the idea behind it. We talked about the 11 altogether. He said that there are 11 tribes for whom Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha to. The one tribe that he didn't give a bracha to, do you remember? Shimon was true, so therefore he only wrote 11 Tehillim for the 11 tribes. I wish there was somebody who could say that each one represented a certain shade, but I can't tell you that whatsoever. You should know, these tefillos, these Tehillim, even if it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, are not on the same level as the Torah itself. The way that the Torah was written was the word of God straight to Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down what Hashem told him to write. Here, all of these over here were written in a way where Moshe Rabbeinu understood what Hashem wanted him to write and did it in his own words. That made everything different from the Torah itself. That's that. The way that we can look at it is, and the way that we know that it's a little bit different from David Melech is that this is in plural form, while everything else is Hayisa Lanu. This is in plural form. Everything that David Melech writes is always in singular form toward himself. Before the mountains were brought forth, but Kol Aretz V'Sebel, and you brought about the land and everything in it, forever and ever you are God. The Gemara Chagiga says you're not allowed to think about what was before the world and what is after the world. You can't ask about such a thing. But what we do know is that God existed before the world exists, and it also exists after the world is going to be gone. The world was made for us and for us to enjoy, etc. In that sense, Me'olamat Olamat El, from one world to the other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever you want in the world, you are God. How does that work? How could there be such a thing? We don't know. Those were introductions. Now is the actual Tehillim. Toshe Ben Shadaka. You turn man to dust. Batomer Shuvah Bnei Adam. And you ask them to all do tshuva. They were asked to do tshuva and to bring themselves back. Enosh is a name of man when he's feeling desperate. Anusha comes from the word Yush, as if giving up, as if there's nothing left. There's like a calamity in the world. That's what it's over here. This is a reference to a person who's going through tremendous yusurin and a lot of pain and stuff like that. And this is the idea behind it over here. There's an interesting little mush over here, but I didn't like it. Because 1,000 years to you in your eyes, Hashem, is like a day that has passed. When it passes by, like a watch in the night, as if there's nothing there. And we spoke about this last time. We said that, first of all, when men sleep at night, it seems like the night flies. Obviously, we don't remember anything. Days go long, nights go short. So we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki'ilu is if, it's like that, all of a sudden, 1,000 years pass. Obviously, there's no such thing as time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's different.
Okay, but for David Melech, you said that he woke up also like very early in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So if anything for him wouldn't have been like...
No, remember, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all. But second of all, we're talking about normal people. Yeah. Right, when it comes to that, to be able to go through. Now, if 1,000 years is like a day, then we said that that makes sense by other Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told other Rishon, B'yom Achol Mimenu Tamus, on the day that you eat from it, you're going to die. But other Rishon ended up living 1,000 years almost. 930 years. The pshat is because a day in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes is 1,000 years. So you're supposed to live 1,000. He gave 7 years to David HaMelech, and that's that. But I think there's an easier way of understanding it. 1,000 years passes by like a day after it's done. While it's happening, it seems like things are taking a long time to go through. But after everything's finished, think of the last 37 years of my life. It's like that to me. It's like that. At the time, it went a long way. But right now, it's all a second. It's as if it's right there. Yeah, and that's exactly it. 1,000 years is like a day to us. Even to us, let alone HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't think of it that way. Even if we've lived 1,000 years, we wouldn't think of anything. At the time, it took a long time. But after it's over, it seemed like nothing. Zoramtum. You engulf them. You flood them. Shena yiyu. As if they're asleep. Baboker kechotzer yachalov. In the morning, they're like grass that withers completely. This is a reference to the brief years that a person lives. You engulf them as if there's absolutely nothing. In the morning, right? In other words, before their time, so to speak, they wither. They die. Things happen to them. It's almost as if we're living in a dream, as if we're sleeping through. Everybody knows the famous story of Rip Van Winkle, right? Not everybody knows that that's a reference to a story in Gemara, right? That we have our story, and it goes with Choni Ma'agil. The Choni Ma'agil is two stories in Gemara, one about making the circle, and the second one about being Rip Van Winkle and sleeping through 70 years of his life and going all the way through, right? It's amazing how it goes. First of all, the fact that we know this story, but second of all, you know, you figured it out? Choni Ma'agil went to sleep seeing a man plant a tree. He got up, right, and he saw the tree grow. And he said, "What must be I slept for 70 years. Can you imagine if he looked the wrong direction? He's like, oh, no, that was over there. Regardless, but Choni Ma'agil slept through 70 years. There's the muscle behind what Choni Ma'agil, I'm not saying that what Choni Ma'agil did didn't happen. That's not what I'm saying.
You're saying people go looking for him?
What?
People kind of wonder.
So it's interesting. There's, I don't remember who it is. There's a parish on that Gemara, an amazing parish. I forgot who it is. The Marshal of Venice. I forgot who it is. Who says that it was the times of the Greeks when they were fighting against the Jews, right, during the Hashmonaic period, and they assumed that Choni Ma'agil just died in war. His wife was probably an Aguna because they had nobody, but they just assumed, like everybody else, he had died at war and that was that. That's what they say, and it's brilliant. He woke up after the Hashmonaic war. That's when he came out. Anyway, regardless, the muscle behind what the Gemara is trying to tell us, the lesson behind what it's trying to say is that people can sleep through their lives and nothing is happening. As if nothing's there. You just wake up one day and you realize, like, what did I do with my life? I have no friends. I have no anything. Right? You wake up like that. I'm sorry? Last sleeping. It's ki'ilu, like you just lived your life and there's nothing there. That's what Choni Ma'agil was saying. Like, how could a person sleep through life? There are people that sleep through their lives. Period. That's just what people do. Anyway, that's the idea behind it over here. Right? And it says, Babokia sits up in the morning. It flourishes and then it withers. In the evening, it's cut down. It's dry completely. We're consumed in your anger. We're terrified through all the wrath that you bring in because our life is so short. You're going to be angry with us and we're going like that. You placed our sins in front of you. And our secret sins, the stuff that no one else knows about, it's right in front of the light of your eyes. When Shlomo Alkevitz, the author of Lecha Dovi, went in to go see the Dibbuk, the famous Dibbuk that he talks about during the times of the Arizal. It's a famous story that's brought down in a bunch of different places where Shlomo Alkevitz went to go see it. It's amazing that the Dibbuk was calling him when people were walking in, like Talmidei Chacham were walking in. The Dibbuk was screaming at them and saying, "I saw what you did in that area with that woman." And the people were unbelievably embarrassed. Each one of them. And he was telling them all of their secret sins. When Shlomo Alkevitz came in, it was silence. They said, "Why are you silent?" He said, "We can't speak about someone of his stature." Can you imagine being that person? I didn't do anything. I didn't do it. Everybody else had something that went wrong, but I didn't do it.
That's the point. If you yourself thought about you being like that, you wouldn't also be up like that.
I don't know what you mean.
Meaning if somebody is that great and thought, I am that great, yeah, it wouldn't be that great.
No, I think he would be. I didn't do anything. I never did what the other people did.
Falls off. That's like saying,
forget about Gaiva. Don't worry about Gaiva. I didn't do it. I didn't do those sins. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't do anything. All the days pass by in your fury, right? They really go by. We consume, we spend all of our years as if it's like a word, a byword, right? And that's that. And everything's gone. The days of the years that we live in them, 70 years, if somebody's strong, they'll live to 80. The Rabbam Amo Ba'avin, most of them are filled with toil and sins, because time is speedily coming, and then it flies away and it's gone completely, right? And that's that. I told you already last time that according to one of the Musar Sfarim, is the first words that they're going to ask you, what does it mean, la'asad lava? You said this every Shabbos. What does kigash chish v'ne'ufa mean? Because the time passes forward quickly and flies away. That's what it means. And that's how you say it over here. Obviously, if this is Moshe Rabbeinu writing it toward the end of his life, then you have a major issue, that Moshe Rabbeinu is already 120. It could be that Moshe Rabbeinu was writing it for normal people, and normal people lived to 70, 80 at the time. It could be that David HaMelech adapted it, that back then he was writing it to 120, and David said, well, nowadays it's 70 to 80, right? It's something like that. It could be that's the way to be able to look at it. A third parish is that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that most people were doing this, and he wrote this when he was younger. Remember, we mentioned an explanation last week brought by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, and he actually brings a proof from this pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this when he was a child, when he was living in Paro's palace, and he saw the bad things happening to the Jews, and he told them, what's the problem? We don't live here very long. We do what we need to do, and then we're gone. And that's that. That's the idea of what he wanted to say over there. Regardless, that's that. It's an amazing shot. If Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it when he was 20, it makes sense that he would say most people live to 70, 80. Even though he lived to 120, he didn't know. He had no idea. Who knows the strength, the power of your absolute anger? The amount that you are feared, that's how much you have anger, we'll call it. That's what happens. And unfortunately, we learn this as well. The more that we have Yiras Shamayim, the angrier you get at us, the more you get at us for doing what we've been doing. You want us to know the number of days, the Navi Levav Chachma, so that we will get for ourselves and bring ourselves to have hearts filled with wisdom. The amount of hearts that's there, right, that's there. So we want to count our days so that we know when to do tshuva, when to bring ourselves back. Shuva Hashem Ad Mosai, return to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How long will you stay away? Relent concerning all of your servants. Sabinu Babukar Kastecha, allow us to be satisfied in the morning of your kindness and run into Minus Makamo Yemenu. Allow us to sing and be happy in all of our days with everything you do. Let us have that Geula, that Olam Haba, so to speak, that you can give to us. Samchenu Kimosi Nisanu, make us happy like the days of our affliction. Shnos Rinu Ra, the amount of years that we saw all the evil that you did. Now, the Mosi Nisanu we talked about last time is based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin. The amount of years that Mashiach will be for us is according to the amount of years that we have suffered under our Kadosh Baruch Hu. If, for example, some say that the most of Mashiach are going to be 70 years, because it's 70 years above them. Some say it's going to be 400 or 210 years for the amount of years we were in Mitzrayim. Others say it's 5,777, the amount of years that we were in Gullus, that we were in this world for. Others say the amount of Gullus, 2,000 whatever years. However many it is, it doesn't really make that much of a difference. The most of Mashiach is kimos inisanu, like the days of our affliction. That's something you should make us happy. Let your works appear to your servants. The Hadorcha B'neihem, let your glory be upon your children. That's the idea of Hadorcha. The old age beauty should be given to your children. May the pleasantness of God be upon us. And your handiwork should be established upon us. And even the work of his hands should be done as well. Now we said that this is a reference. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu blessed the people with when they built the Mishkan. At the end of Parshas. You know what? I don't remember what parsha it was where we say that we know of. No, it's in Rashi. It's not in the Chumash itself. But in Rashi somewhere, we mention these words, and he says, I'm not going to do. You know what? Maybe I'll find it. It might be Pekuda. You know what? It's Pekuda. No, I got it. You know what? He's more in.
They buy along going up in trouble. Kind of asking.
I'm not positive I'm going to get it before him. What have you got?
The reference is killing.
Here, it's right here. Vayvarecha Stone Moshe. Give me 1 second more. Vayvarecha Stone Moshe. Moshe blessed him. Amalahem Yiratzon Shadusha Shechina Vayitidecha. May the Shechina rest upon your handiwork. Vihino Amashem Elokeinu Aleinu. Matzei Adinu Kona Aleinu. Matzei Adinu Kona Aleinu. And that's one of the Yudal means more than the Dovin that Moshe Rabbeinu said. That's what it says over there. That was the bracha they ended up giving. So where is it? It's Perek Lamed Tes Pasuk Mem Gimel and Parshat Pekudei. That's what he told them. It's an amazing idea that he gave over to them. And the Psalm Sofer goes on. He says, I don't understand the wording. It says, may the pleasantness of God be upon us. Well, that makes sense. The Shekhinah should be resting upon us. Maisi Adinu Konina Aleinu. Our handiwork should be established upon us. Again, that means the Mishkan should be built. Maisi Adinu Koninehu. And let the work of our hands establish him. What does that mean?
His name.
How does that work? So it means that everything you do causes an effect in Shemayim that allows things to happen back to us. What we call it in Kabbalistic lore, you know, in Hasidic lore we'll call it, is Hisorus Milmata. We do something down here, it causes Hisorus Lamala. Sometimes they start and we go on from there. Sometimes we start and they go on from there. I expect that. Sadi Aleph, which we know is connected to this, is Yosha B'Seser Elyon. That he who dwells on high, that still should I in the shadow of God, Yislo Nun, that's where he lives. Now, this is a big problem. We don't even know what that means. Yosha B'Seser Elyon. This entire Mizmor is said to knock out demons, to knock out Tuma, and to get rid of all of the evil things that are in the world. And we're going to mention them by name quite a bit over here. Yosha B'Seser Elyon is a reference to a Malach whose name is Akasri. The end of the name is El, Aleph Lamed. Aleph Chof Suf Reish Yud Aleph Lamed. Now, Akasri Kel is the gematria of Bisaser. It's a gematria of 662. Esther is 661. When there's Hester Punin, that's Esther, then Akasri loses the Aleph in front of his name, and he's just Kasri Kel. And that's 661. When we're doing well, then it becomes Akasri. Now, the job of Akasri is to make the crowns for a Kodesh Baruch Hu and put it upon his head and make everything great. Some call him Sandal. If anybody's heard Sandal with the last phone, that is the end of the name over there. Whatever it is, we're referencing the Malach on high who sits in the shadow of the glory of God. That's what it refers to over here. That we're saying the qualities that he is able to give to us to protect us in everything we are doing over here. Now we're going to see. The number one thing to do when being set upon by demons, etc., is to have bitachon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu when that's that. Some say that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this when he was in Shemayim for those 120 days, 40 days for the first Luchos, 40 days for the second Luchos, and 40 days for davening for Klal Yisrael. He wrote this in Shemayim at that time, right? But that's the idea. Some say that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it at that time because he was afraid of the harmful agents of Tuma that would destroy him when he was on his way up. Some say like that itself. Others say it's a song that we use against plagues. When plagues come about, you do this. So I would assume that they put this in kamios, in little amulets, and people would wear it. That's the meaning of what they used to do with that. Omer Hashem, I'm going to say of God, Machim Zidasi, who is my refuge and my fortress, Elokai Avdacho, that I trust in my God completely. He feel me, he will save you from an ensnaring trap. Midevar Avos, from a devastating plague. Pach, right, is one over Paz. Paz are the amount of words in Baruch Sha'omah. Baruch Sha'omah has 87 words inside it. Pach is Hapach Mishvor Vanachmin Matnu. It's like the ultimate in Tumah, like the snare, the trap that gets people to do things that are evil. Ve'abraso Yosech Loch. With his wings, he will cover you. Mesachas Knav of Tachzeh, you'll take refuge under his wings. I don't know if there's a difference between the Aver. I think the Aver is like the whole wing, and the Knav of are like the spread out feathers. I don't know if there's a difference between that. Sina Visokera Amito. If you speak out the truth, that becomes like a shield and armor for you to protect you wherever you go. So we go into like the same way that an eagle protects its young, it spreads out its wings to be able to protect itself. It keeps its young on top of itself instead of in its talons, because since people are shooting up at it, if it keeps the young in the talons, they're going to get hit. Instead, it protects and takes it for himself. MS over here is obviously referring to the MS of Torah, that if a person learns Torah, you will be protected completely. And that's the idea. It says, because, right, that each feather over here is really an aver, the limb. There are 248 limbs, so the 248 mitzvahs, 365 finyus, so the 365 losases. It means that all that we have protects you, our avarim protect us, the mitzvahs that we do protect us. Los sura takab laila. Never be afraid of the fear, the terror of man. That's, again, a reference to demons. Mechetz ya'uf yomam. From the arrows that fly during the day. Mechetz ya'uf yomam, once again, is a reference to a demon. There is a demon named Chetz, there is a demon named Pachad Laila. Some say this is a reference to natural problems, like chills and ultimate heat. The tzanim u'pachim, as the Gemara says. Tzanim is cold, and pachim is warm. And we say, akol bidei shamayim, everything is in the hands of shamayim, chutz mitzanim pachim, except for tzanim u'pachim. If you go outside, right in the winter, without a coat on, it's your own damn fault that you got sick. Everything's in the hands of shamayim, except for your idiocy. If you go outside when it's really warm outside, and you dress like a fool, then it's your own fault you got sick or you overheated. That's your own damn fault. You shouldn't do that. I'm not arguing on charedim in the middle of the summer in Eretz Yisrael. Just saying.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. but regardless, that's what the Gemara says. Never worry about the pestilence that goes in the darkness. Dever is also one of the, obviously, the demons that are out there. Ketev Yashut Zarayim. From a demon that's known as Ketev Yashut Zarayim. Literally means the destruction of the waste of the afternoon. There is a demon named Ketev Yashut Zarayim who works during the 3 weeks, but especially during the 9 days in the afternoon from Shiva to Batamuz until Tisha B'Av. That name is Ketev Yashut Zarayim. That's the reference over here. Unfortunately, is a very, very powerful demon that has destroyed many, many people. May a thousand fall from your right, from your side, and 10,000 on your right, they should not reach you. That the 1,000 demons on your left and the 10,000 on your right should not reach you whatsoever. For this reason and others, there's a Kuntres Yada Shadim that was written by somebody about 300 years ago, once microscopes were invented, and they saw that there was such a thing called bacteria. And he said that it's clear to him that the mazikin, the damaging agents that cause people to have sickness and things like that, and demons, is really a reference to this. Microbes, microbiological material, right, that stuff like that. Back in the day, they somehow had the power to form physical forms to make people even more fearsome, as if they were human beings, but they never really had that. They're really, instead, they are microbes that are there, and that makes sense. 1,000 on your left, 10,000 on your right, you're filled with microbes all day long. What was it that I just read? Your toilet does not contain as many germs as
your cell phone.
Your cell phone, that's correct. Yeah, that was it. It was your cell phone that is more germs per square inch than the toilet. So you might as well be putting your toilet right up to your face. I'm not suggesting you do it. I'm just saying that it's like that.
That's why you don't touch it.
That's that. I'm sorry? Don't touch anything. Rock bay nechus abit. You look with your eyes.
Cell phone.
It was just a thing. It was in Reader's Digest. That's why. My favorite book ever. And it said that you should wipe your cell phone constantly. You should see the payback for all the Rashayim, all the evil that happens. You should see it all with your eyes. Because you are Shema, my protection. You are the one most high where you have placed your dwelling place. Nothing evil will befall you. There will be no plague that comes near your tent. And the dwelling above or anything like that, there should be nothing bad that will happen. Your possessions will not be damaged. Nothing bad will happen to such a person. Why? Because his malachim will protect you, will be commanded to help you, to watch over you in all of your roads. I say this line on Friday nights in between Ribbono Lamin, right? In between here, take this. In between Ribbono Lamin and Ashes Chayil, there's a line. We say, right? And it goes on, etc. That's what we end up doing over here. The shot is that we all know that everybody has a ministering angel that's in charge of you during the day and at night. Wherever you go, that malach is there. It's possible you have two. On Shabbos night, Friday night, you for sure have two. They're the ones that say that if your house is set up for Shabbos, they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say, may this happen next week. And if your house is not made for Shabbos, unfortunately, they say, may you have this next week as well.
Would it be a Mozart to have them in mind during
davening? 100%. Yeah. There's a big question of what you can do with malachim itself. You can't daven to them.
But
they're helping angels.
Daven to them to help you.
Don't.
You can't.
Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They can be the ones who bring the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu quicker, but you cannot daven to them that they should bring the tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
If you're in a basement, in a shul that's also a basement, it feels the trade.
think you're referring to a Gemara in Brachos that says that Ein Lo Lakar Shkarvo La Arba Amos Kol Vad, and that we daven in a bunch of Masjid Midrashos now, like Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. They used to daven in shoals, but then they daven to where they used to learn by the Amudi that they learned, right? That it's true, but that doesn't mean that it's going to go straight up. It's too much there. It's the same thing, really. It's the exact same thing. You asked the Tzadikim to be a Melech Yusha, to go up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and beg a Kadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. So you can ask that, not from Malachim. Malachim is too high, and it's something that's a little bit there. At the same token, you shouldn't be davening to the dead either. You should be davening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and again, ask the Mason to bring our tefillos closer and to daven for us while we're, you know, to continue our prayers. What? Now that I know it. And then it says, Al-Kapayim Yisu Uncha. They bear you upon their hands, carrying you upon their hands. Pentigo Vavnaglacha. Maybe you'll dash your foot against a stone. Meaning, they'll protect you whenever something happens and there's like, you might trip. You don't feel it, obviously, but the Malach is there. Anybody ever see that, the old movie Angels in the Outfield? Right? Angels in the Outfield, the California Angels? That's what I think of the whole time. Al-Shachar Vafesin Tigrok. You will tread. You will walk upon the lion and the snake. You won't even notice that you're walking upon a lion and a snake, even though they obviously would bite you if they knew, right, that you were stepping on them. They will bite you, they'll destroy you. Tirmos kefir vathini, you will trample a lion, kefir is a young lion, with sanin, and a very, very deep serpent. Some say that tanin would be like an alligator or a crocodile, something like that. But no matter what you do, you'll never have to worry, because that Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it for you. We all know the stories of Chenin Mendoza. Chenin Mendoza heard that there was a snake, it's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Daled. He heard that it was a snake that was biting and killing people, right? So he heard about it, and they said, Rebbe, what are we going to do? So Rechini Mendoza put his foot right outside of the hole. I do not suggest you do this at home, but he put his foot right outside of the hole itself where the snake came out. The snake came out and bit his foot, and the snake died. It's almost as if it's a Chuck Norris joke. That is a Chuck Norris joke. After 3 days of agonizing pain, the snake finally died. Right? That's that. Regardless, right? He went there and it died, and Rechini Mendoza picked up the snake, went back to town, and said, it's not the snake that kills, it's the sin that kills. Right? That's what he ended up telling the people, which means, number one, that Rechini Mendoza is the absolute boss of the world, and I love the guy. Number two, it's that it's a scary idea that all snakes, the only reason why a person would be hit is because he did a sin that does it. If you go in with Bitachon and you know that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you, you can protect yourself, over-encumber yourself with protection to make sure it goes through the right way. Kivish Choshak, because God yearned, he desired Ba'apol Seyu, and therefore I rescue him, says a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I set God high because he knows my name. And this is really a reference to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to treat them, so to speak. How it's going to be the other way around. That a Kitz Hashem is going to happen and that great things will happen based on the cheshek that I have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the great things that are going to happen over there. Yikra'ini, he calls out to me, this is God. Then I am going to answer him. Imo Anochi Vitzara, I'm with him in his pain. And this is the line that we use all the time. Imo Anochi Vitzara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm with you in your pain. Anything bad that happens, any crazy stuff that's there, I am with you. I will be there when you're in Golos. I'll be there whenever you need something. I will rescue him. I will honor him in everything that happens over here. Muscle. Yushami says, Rebutin says, a man of flesh and blood has a patron, right? If the man is set upon his troubles, he will not enter to see his patron suddenly and unexpectedly. What does he do in order to see his patron, the person who's going to help? He stands and calls to the patron's servant, right? Or to his son and daughter. Tells the patron somebody is waiting there. And then he waits to be welcomed inside. And then he sits down and he talks to everybody else, and then eventually they give him whatever he needs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. When troubles come upon a person, don't cry out to me, Cole or Gabriel or any of the Malachim to be able to help you. Instead, call upon Hashem directly. It's different when you as a human being are asking somebody to help you versus when you call HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. May long days satisfy him. And I, says God, will see him in his salvation. Whether that's referring to Tzchiyas HaMeisim and what's going to be at the times of Tzchiyas HaMeisim, whether that's mamish in our world, that we're going to have Yeshua in the small things that we do, that's the famous line over here. That's what we sang 17 times walking around in a circle on Shabbos. Yeah. that's that. All right, Saudi Bays, everybody. Everybody knows this Mizmor, and we're going to have the biggest cash on this one. Saudi Bays is our Mizmor on Shabbos. Mizmor Shirli on the Shabbos. A Mizmor of a song that we sing on Shabbos. Here's the problem. The rest of the Mizmor has nothing to do with Shabbos. There's literally not one word to do with Shabbos. It starts off Mizmor Shirli on the Shabbos. But there's nothing to do with Shabbos itself. So it's one of two things. Either it's not referring to Shabbos, it's talking about Olam Haba. The Yom Shekulo Shabbos. The day that is entirely Shabbos. That's one way of understanding it, but there's another way of understanding it, which I think is a little bit clearer. It's not that it's referring to Shabbos itself. It's referring to something that is not thought about when we keep Shabbos, and something we should be concentrating on when we keep Shabbos. Something that's so obvious to us that that's what Shabbos is all about. Some say, that the Medrash says, and I should say the Medrash says, right, that this Talmud was composed by Adam HaRishon himself in the Garden of Eden after he had sinned. It was his form of tshuva, appreciating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. If so, then he's even further. Adam wrote it, Moshe Rabbeinu continued it, and Dovid HaMelech finally wrote it down. However you want to put it, something like that happened. In this Talmud we mention Hashem's name seven times, an allusion to the seven brachos of Shabbos Shemona Esrei. That's a little allusion over there. It also indicates that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. You remember, he passed away on Shabbos, which is also Zayin Adar, but that's when he passed away right over there. Anyway, regardless, since it says Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos, the minhag is to sing on Shabbos. And that is a serious minhag that comes from the wording of this Tehillim. You should sing songs on Shabbos because Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos. Tov Lo Dos LaShem. It's good to think. I'm sorry?
Unless you go to
what?
Oh, it's the shul.
It's good to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to sing to the name of God Most High. That's the idea. It's good to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen, to get a day of Shabbos after everything that's going on during the week, to take that day off, to finally just sit back, relax, and do what you need to do, there's nothing greater. L'hagid baboker chasecha. I tell of your chesed in the morning. V'munascha balelos. And your truthfulness, I shouldn't say that, your faithfulness. In the evenings. In the morning, when it's clear, I can see your chesed. In the evenings, when it's not so clear, things are not doing so well, and I'm not so sure what to do exactly, then it's emunah. I trust God that everything's going to work out well. But the best time to do anything is in the morning. That's the way that a person is there. That, he says something funny. He says, women and children are asleep. They won't interrupt you. To wake up early. The Ksos HaChoshen lived at the same time as Rabbi Yaakov Milisa, the Nesivus, right? So, both of them were living with Arya Cohen and Rabbi Yaakov Milisa. The Ktos HaKoshen was a sefer that everybody looked at and said, this is the greatest sefer of all time. It was like the first sefer to introduce real, hardcore lumbus to the people. And they mamish, everybody soaked it up. They ate it up like it was food. It was so good to read the Ktos. The Nesivus was the same way. But the thing about the Nesivus is that not everybody did it. Like, some people did the Nesivus, but a lot of people just sort of like, eh. You know, it wasn't as great. The Nesivus is also an awesome, awesome sefer. So the story goes that the Nesivus one time met with the Ktos and said, I don't understand. I wrote a sefer that's very similar to yours. They're both good. I don't think your sefer is that much better than mine. Why is it that your sefer everybody loves? Well, my sefer is sort of like relegated. It's second best, whatever. What's the difference between me and you? So the Ktos, I don't think it really happened. But the Ktos said, what do you do at 3 o'clock in the morning? So what did Nesivus say? Chas v'shalom. Nesivus. Nesivus says, I find that when I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, my mind is the sharpest. And the way that I can understand things the best, so that's when I sit down and I write my sefer. So Ktos said, that's when I sit down and I correct my sefer. That's good, right? It's a thought process behind it. It's very, very good.
When does he wake up then?
The real question is, when did he sleep? No, he wakes up at 3. What do you mean? He wakes up at 3. They both woke up at 3. Just one would write his sefer, the other one would correct his sefer.
When did he write his sefer, though?
Well, he wrote it during the day. That's when it comes to that. New. Alayasor balaynavel, upon the 10-stringed harp, and upon the navel, whether that's the lyre or, you know, this guy right over there, one of those two, whatever it is, alayigayom b'kinor, there is a higayom, there is a certain singing that we do upon the kinor. The kinor is one of those two as well, whichever one is going to be, right, the harp that's going to be there. Vanished. Told you vanished. Vanished. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, he has made me, exactly, he told me, didn't ask, right, God, you have made me happy with your works. When I say that, right, I want to sing to you of all your handiwork, all the great things HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't even count all the great things that you've done for me. Again, it's all about the Tov Lodos over here. This is what Shabbos should be about. Shabbos is you sit back and relax. I remember I had this minute. I stopped it. I used to do it all the time with my kids, in which we would stay over the best thing that happened to us that week on Friday night at dinner. It was the best thing to do, and then we just forgot about it, and then it was gone. That's what happened to many, many little men. Maybe a year ago, year and a half ago. I forgot when. It was some point in Bar Mitzvah. You probably did. You probably did. I don't remember when, but we stayed over the best thing that happened to us that, and maybe I should start it again because of this mitzvah. But that's what you're supposed to do. That's what Shabbos is all about. Olam Haba, you realize all the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for you. And that's what Shabbos is. Adam HaRishon saw everyone that was going to be in the future. He even saw David HaMelech himself. And he gave over to David HaMelech his 70 years of life. Some say it's hinted to in this passage. The Ma'isi Adecha Aranin. I will sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the greatness of your handiwork, meaning a person like David HaMelech. And that's that. There's a famous story of Rosh Hashanah Yechai Talmidim. Rosh Hashanah Yechai had a Talmid who left yeshiva, went into business, and became an unbelievably wealthy businessman. Very, very wealthy. Came back to yeshiva and flaunted his wealth. Went around and he's like, look at me, I've got fur coats, I've got money everywhere, I've got all this stuff, right? So the other two Talmidim got really distressed. They were like, listen, we're living really poor lives with absolutely no money. This guy leaves yeshiva and he makes all this money. Shimon Bar Yochai says, all right guys, everybody come with me. We're stopping shir today. Closed up the safer, they all went down to a valley. He said, valley, valley, fill up with gold coins. The whole valley filled up with gold coins. He said to Talmidim, you can take anything you want. Just know that any coin you take will be taken out of your chalik in Olam Haba. Your call, what do you want? The Talmidim are like, oh wow, way to make us feel guilty, ready. Right? Obviously they didn't take a thing except one guy. Filled it up.
He's like, I wasn't going anywhere.
Like,
anyway.
Awesome. Right? But either way, but regardless, each one of them said it, and that's that. That's the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made me glad. Hashem befall lecha in your work and what you're going to do for him. Hashem, how great are your works, O God? Ma'ud amkumash vasecha. How deep are your thoughts and how far it goes through, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you think of everything. Everything is thought of. It's not like all of a sudden something else. Ish bar lo yida. An idiot would never know this. Uksili yamanisos. A fool, he would never understand such a thing. A blind man, a brutish man, a person who is simply for gashmius and olamaze, is blinded. He doesn't see all the great things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, because all he recognizes is this. I don't mean to say it this way. Either a Cleveland Indians fan or a Chicago Cubs fan tonight is going to be very, very upset. Right? Ignoring the fact that your team just made it to the World Series for the first time in who knows how many years. Ignoring the fact that if you're in Cleveland, that the Cavs. Right? Ignoring the fact that the Bears finally won a game after like 3 years. Like, there's so many other good things.
I know.
The point is,
you have no perspective. You're living in the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Where are you?
Five minutes after
the Cubs win tonight. What's going to happen?
Cubs 5 minutes.
Win. Like, that's that. You know, that's how it goes. Yeah.
Some of us at her school, they had a teacher with me specifically about that. You guys are not allowed to get smashed. We all need to.
This is Dave Jacob, right?
No.
I thought that would be hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. My best line, I think, that I heard is on Friday. You know, Mully and Hanley in the morning and 6:70 to score. This mom is so gashmi as Olam Haza. Mamish, Hanley is one of the biggest Cubs fans you will ever see in your life. Hanley is an unreal Cubs fan. He said, because they were playing Friday night, Shabbos, Sunday in Chicago, he expected the Cubs to win all three games. He said, I am telling everyone right now, this is right before throwing off, if the Cubs win, if the Cubs are winning on Sunday, if they win it, you will not see me on Monday. You will not see me on Monday. I will not be able to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday. I am guaranteeing that. They didn't win, obviously. Right? But it's something to, it's a different world. Like Phil Williams, those, they don't have it. Another line that people say with this line of they refer to the animals of the world. The amazing things. One of the things that I'm talking about tomorrow night in my Chumash here is bioluminescence. You ever heard of bioluminescence? It's the ability for animals, especially sea creatures, to give forth a light from bacteria that they collect throughout the water. Like, there are certain types of animals, like an anglerfish. You might have seen those, like in Finding Nemo. There's a little light, whatever it is. It is the most unbelievable, like a glowworm, like a, you know, a firefly, something like that. It's the most unreal thing in the world. We really don't even think about it, but it's the most unbelievable thing in the world. It only happens to creatures in the sea and by these two bugs. There are no other animals in the world that do it. I'm going to talk about the Tsohar and how the rock gave off light in the Teva itself. Bioluminescence is an unbelievable thing. We look at these things and we're just shocked by it. There are some unreal things that we don't even realize. We look at it and we're like, yeah, it's cool.
It's a light.
Like, we look at fireflies, like, lighting themselves up in the sky, and we're like, yeah, but I see that. I've seen that every day in my life. Can you imagine? Somebody's never seen a firefly before. Like, what the heck is that? What is that?
They kill
all the flocks, mosquitoes in Chicago. They spray everything, so there are barely any fireflies.
Oh, like, because of Zika and stuff like that?
Not Zika, because of whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
If Rosh Hashanah Kamoisev, when the Rishayim are sprouting out like grasses from the ground, and all the people who believe will flourish, they will be destroyed forever. Now here's a shot by grass. Rishayim are like grass because grass grows quickly, and Rishayim grow very quickly as well. Number one, grass flourishes. It just literally shoots out of the ground. Rishayim, all of a sudden, they become very, very great. All of a sudden, became this leader. He was like the seventh guy in charge, and then boom. Grass flourishes without the expenditure. It could even be Trump or Clinton, depending. But anyway, grass flourishes. Grass flourishes without the expenditure of effort to plant the seeds. Without having to plant the seeds, without having to do anything, really supplying the water. You throw some things in your backyard, grass is going to grow. It's amazing how grass grows. You don't think so?
No, that's true.
Okay, my front yard is approved. I do nothing. I have a lawn guy who kills my grass.
That's the thing.
He's amazing at it.
No, I'm saying if there's no seeds there, it will not grow.
Of course there's seeds. It's grass. Grass is filled with seeds. They're filled with tens of hundreds of seeds in each little blade of grass.
Itself also.
Hey man, suicide?
No,
I know all grass works. That's that. The next thing is that the wicked do not bear any fruit. The same way that grass grows for itself and there's nothing else there, fruit, it does not bear fruit the same way and it perishes quickly the way. That's the evildoers. They blossom really quickly and then they're gone completely. That's the idea of mushroom. We mushroom the Haman. Pasuk test. But you are on high forever. You are going to be up there forever through your Moshe Mashiach. Because your enemies, Hashem, your enemies should all be destroyed. All the people who do evil should be scattered completely. They will be dispersed. All the enemies are going to be ruined completely. It's going to happen to everybody. They're going to be gone forever. The same way that the Mabel, and Dora Flaga, right? All of them will be gone. Tarim, Karni. You have exalted my horn like the horn, like the horn of an axe. Tarim, Karni. My horn like the Re'im. I don't know if you want to say an ox, a unicorn, a one-horned creature, a rhinoceros, an aurox, right? A-U-R-U-C-H-S. Very good. Right? Balusi b'shem ranon. I'm anointed with tremendously rich oil. My eyes gaze upon my enemies. When evil people come against me, tishman azoy. Let my ears hear it. You should all hear the downfall of those people. The tzaddik, however, not like the Rishayim, not like grass. The tzaddik will be like a palm tree. A palm tree that grows straight up, does not curve, goes straight up, always, yashar, yashar, not like Israel, yashar, yashar, yamina. It's yashar, yashar, straight up, and fruits bearing every year, new fruits that come out. Ke'erez ba'levanon yisgeh. He'll grow as tall as the cedar wood in the middle of a forest. And that even if he's not zilcha to have fruits, not zilcha to have talmidim or children that are direct, there will be an indirect seeds that come from it, where it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be upright. You know what's interesting? Palm trees supposedly take 70 years to fully mature. And that's really what tzaddik doesn't become fully mature until he's there. Yeah, all trees die. The question is how long it takes, but all trees die. Right? That's that. I think the oldest are the California redwoods or something like that. I forgot what it is, but they can be 4,000. Yeah, long, long time, because they're not fruit-bearing. Fruit-bearing trees do not take long. An esrog tree, on average, lives 50 years. 5-0. Yeah. I think it's wrong. I think Esrog tree is like 36 years. There's a tree, though, that the Chazon Ish gave to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz in Bnei Brak, and said, you'll use this for a esrogim or all the time. All you have to do is water it once a week. That's what he told them. So Mikkeliuda Lapwood, anybody who owns an Esrog tree farm will tell you that's not true. Okay? But Mikkeliuda had beautiful Esrogim that grew every year, and the tree lasted over 60 years, which is impossible for an Esrog tree. And when Mikkeliuda died, it died.
That's crazy.
It's a really, really cool thing.
Water it, or then in that water?
Good one. Either way, regardless, that's that. Shesulah the Vez Hashem, they are placed, they flourish. They're planted in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chatzos HaLakeni Yafrichu, they will flourish in the courts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's referring to Tzedikim in our world, or Yemos Mashiach. Od Yenuvim B'Seva, in their old age, they'll still be fruitful. Obviously, trees do not become bear fruit when they get older. But even Tzedikim, Tzedikim will have fruit, they'll have, not children maybe, but Talmidim when they get older. D'Shenimran Nimiyu, they have sap and richness that goes through even at 100 years old, the Hagim Kiyosh Hashem, to tell over how straight HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and how he treats the righteous. Shuri V'lov L'Asabo, he is my rock. There is nothing bad about anything he does. Again, where was Shabbos throughout all that? Again, the idea is, it's not. It's the appreciation of what God has done, and that's what Shabbos should be all about. It's a mizmor that should be sung about on Shabbos that we know what to do with ourselves. That's the concept over here. That's what we have. Okay. Scotty Gimel. Hashem Moloch, Geyus Lavesh. Hashem is king. He dons himself in gaiva, in glory. Lavesh Hashem Oz, he sazor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu girds himself with an ultimate strength. Aptikon Teva, when the world is set, Baltimot, it will not be moved from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The line is, in the days of Mos Mashiach, there will be no more war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will get up and be the ultimate, and that's what's going to happen. He is going to robe himself, gird himself, levush. He's going to have a levush. And what a levush is, what is a levush? A levush is the first thing that a person recognizes about another person. The levush is something that strikes a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have a levush that everyone recognizes. Now, obviously, we sing this on Friday. The pshat is that when man is born and is given the majesty over animals, which really should have lasted forever, it didn't, but should have lasted forever, that idea is being brought into Hashem Malach Yus Levesh, that we're bringing about such greatness into the world through mankind. That's the idea behind it. That's what he said when it went through. When Adam Arisha was created, he freely accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, and they treated him as a moshel, etc. Some say this is going to be during the times of Gog and Magog. The earth is going to somehow survive the war of Gog and Magog. What's interesting, by the way, the first time I've ever seen it, he says Gog and Magog are two kings who will gather to wage war against Yerushalayim. Unless I'm mistaken, which I 99.9% sure I'm not, Gog is the king of the country called Magog. It's not two different people. It's Gog of Magog that comes to fight against Eretz Yisrael. So, I don't know what he means. Magog is a nation, not a name. Gog is an actual name. So, I think a mistake was made when it comes to this, but I'm not positive. Yeah. Somewhere in Asia. But no.
Asia?
No.
Oh, so it could very well be Iran, it could be Iraq, it could be Russia, it could be Uzbekistan. We have no idea.
We honestly know. It could be China.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually what makes it the largest landmass in the world. Nachum Kisach HaMeoz. Your throne is established of old, from back when they hold. You will last forever. You were there before the world existed. You will be there after the world existed. Again, appreciating the fact that God created the world. Nasun Oros Hashem. The rivers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have lifted themselves up. Nasun Oros Kolam. They lift up their voices. Yisu Naharos Dachyam. Their roaring, right, is going to be lifted up by each one of the rivers. This is a reference to God's power. The rivers lifting themselves up are the waters of the world that are going to be there. Some say the waves are a reference to the Goyim coming through the different nations, the world coming through, and Hashem breaks up the waves at the seashore. The waves go no further than what it is, right? Somehow that's the idea over here. We talked about this quite a bit in Yechezkel, how they get broken up at the seashore, and we said, what about a tsunami where it doesn't get broken up at the seashore? But regardless, that's that. And it says, Mikolos Maim Rabim, from the voice of many waters, the noises of many waters, Adirim Mishbarayam, the mighty breakers of the sea, Adir Bamarom Hashem, God is the mightiest upon the mighty. Adir, the highest above, Adir Adirenu, Bamarom, above everything else, that's what it is. The Roman Emperor Hadrian wants to know the secret of the ocean. There's two stories of Hadrian when it comes to the ocean. In the Gemara, it brings down that he wanted to give a gift to Hashem, and he brought it to the rivers, and the rivers ate it up. Whatever it means, you know, the waves, the tides all took it away. They said, you'll never be able to give a full gift to Hashem. You'll never be able to feed him. What is the line from Rabbi Yeshua the Hadrian? This story is like this. He wants to know the secret of the ocean. He cast ropes into the water for 3 years, and then he heard an echo voice proclaim, cease to Hadrian. He also wanted to know all the waters, praise God. He made glass chambers, placed men in them, lowered them into the ocean. They reported hearing the ocean sing and praise, the Lord is mighty on high. The funny thing is that we have such things nowadays. They're called submarines. So it's not like we can't hear such things nowadays. And the truth is, maybe it is. See, whales and dolphins have an unbelievable code of noises that go through the sea. And they pick them up. They pick up noises that go through. Maybe these noises that they're making are some type of tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they're singing the praises of Hashem. Maybe that's what it is. What we're hearing is just like that. That's all we're hearing. But it really is a reference to the greatness of God. Yeah.
Come out with a study, though, for the one for whales.
Of course they did.
Saying it's false.
I don't know if it's false or not. I have no idea. But who knows what it's going to be. They say humpback whales are by far the most vocal of any of them. Yeah, that there is communication.
Isn't that complete garbage?
I think there is communication. I think the communication quite often includes feelings. I have no doubt that it does. The way dolphins, though, dolphins are like free-loving, playing, like whatever. It's that kind of a feeling like a guy who like plays baseball all day, every day, is going to be a dolphin in the next life. That's what they do. I don't believe there's any feelings by dolphins. I honestly feel that they're like, they're totally different. They do amazing things. You know, this, I could not believe this. I couldn't believe it's even possible. I went to the Brookfield Zoo and the dolphin show. They redid the dolphin show. And right now, it is one of the best I've ever seen. What they did is they took a ball and they had it go 20 feet above the water level, right? And a dolphin got up and hit it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. Then they lifted it up 5 feet and swung it back and forth. There was no way you could figure that out. The dolphin went all the way down, right, looked up, figured out the cheshbon of where it was going to be, jumped up 25 feet in the air and nailed it. It's absolutely amazing. Absolutely.
Do they make a sound beforehand?
They can.
No, I'm saying maybe it's like a bat where they know where they're blind.
Location through the water?
Yeah.
No, they're not blind. They can see.
So they are blind.
They can see. No, they can see. The problem is oceans are very hard to see through. Dolphins can see.
But maybe they also somehow.
Yeah, it's possible. It definitely is possible. 807, it's very possible. I don't know. Yeah, it's very possible that you work through some type of echolocation. Okay. 807, Nenumaod, your edus, your testimonies that you give us are very, very trustworthy. Your house becomes a holy place. Hashem la'orach amin. It should keep for the length of days. The idea is, regarding the days of Mashiach, we are positive it's going to happen. We know Yemos Mashiach is going to happen. We will be vindicated. We can't prove it, but we also can't doubt it. That's the idea of what it's going to be. We are yearning for that house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be on the mountain, for everybody to go to it, and it's going to be. And therefore, we should keep doing mitzvahs and keep working on ourselves, that eventually it will happen, and we'll all be impressed by it. Okay, that's the end of Tzadi Gimel. Tzadi Dalet, unfortunately, Wednesday's Yom is a very, very long one. I don't think we'll be able to finish it right now. But it'll be good. Next week, we'll go through that, and then we'll go through the Tehillim that we say every Friday night, which is an important thing to do. These are really, really good ones. These are really good ones.
Yeah.